brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. As I've done for the last couple of days, I want to point out to you a book that I wrote some years ago entitled More of the Holy Spirit. And I really want to encourage you, if you haven't read it, that during this season where we celebrate the beauty of Pentecost, the beauty that we're not celebrating a past event, we're celebrating the reality of God's presence in my soul, in my life, in my spirit, God's presence through the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to show me where I should go, to aid me, to give me wisdom, give me help, to give me courage. The Holy Spirit wants to impart the fullness of God, in a sense, into our lives if we turn to Him. And so my book, More of the Holy Spirit, shows you how I came to a deep understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit, how I saw the part that the charismatic renewal could play in the life of the church, and how God wanted to give us His Spirit in a way that could help us through what are becoming some increasingly difficult times in our society. And I just want to encourage you to arm and equip yourselves as much as you can with the power of truth, and reading the scriptures in the light of the Holy Spirit's inspiration can be extremely helpful, because it just doesn't give us words. It doesn't just give us insight. It gives us power. It gives us courage. It gives us a wisdom that can only come from God Himself. So we need the Holy Spirit, and every moment of our lives, we need the Holy Spirit. But particularly in these times that we're dealing with, we need clarity, we need truth, we need courage, we need hope. And the Holy Spirit desires to give that to us. The first reading today is from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Beloved, realize that you were ransomed from your futile conduct, handed on by your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a spotless, unblemished lamb. He was known before the foundation of the world, but revealed in the final time for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Because of God did for us, the faith and the hope that we have is oriented, its direction is to bring us into union with God Himself. This is not just a little side package to, you know, give you a snack on your way. This is the beginning, the means, and the end of the journey. It is God Himself that He wishes to impart to us by the power of His Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, since you have purified yourselves by obedience to the truth, look at that. You have purified yourselves by obedience to the truth. What did Jesus tell us? That He loved us, and His mercy would always be with us. He would always forgive us. And He says to us, love one another as I have loved you. Whew. We're called to the same action as God in this year of mercy, brothers and sisters. I'm on my knees asking God, first of all, saying, thank you for the mercy that you have on me. But please, Lord, help me in turn to be merciful. Help me to give away what I have received from you. Instead of harboring anger and frustration and bitterness and jealousy and all that stuff. That's the only word I can use. All that stuff. Let's put it aside. That God Himself might love others through us, that we might become a vessel of His love and His wisdom and His courage and His hope to many, many people. Since you have purified yourselves by obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another intensely from a pure heart. In other words, do it for the right reasons. But love intensely, love from your heart. You have been born anew, not from perishable, but from imperishable seed through the living and abiding word of God. So it's the word of God, brothers and sisters, that informs us, that protects us, that defends us, that leads us, that gives us light and hope. Read the word of God every day. Peter says here, you have been born anew, not from perishable, but from imperishable seed through the living and abiding word of God. The seed in you is a seed of eternal life. It is imperishable, brothers and sisters. Do you water it? Do you nurture it? Do you feed it? Do you cause it to grow in you by being open to the work of the Holy Spirit? All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower wilts, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This word has power for all generations forever. Please enter in to the river of living water. Drink deeply from its source. Read it daily. Psalm 147, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He has granted peace in your borders. With the best of wheat, he fills you. Start with your own life, and then move to your parish, and then to your state or to your country. But we want to glorify the Lord, and the Lord wants to be glorified in us, and the Lord wants to be glorified through us, and his grace will strengthen us. It will strengthen the bars of our gates. In other words, what we want to shut out, what we want to keep away from our lives, it will protect us. He's strengthened the bars of your gates. He's granted peace in your borders. With the best of wheat, he fills you. Swiftly runs his word. He has not done thus for any other nation. Come on, brothers and sisters. Take hold to what people for thousands of generations longed for and prayed for, but did not live to see. You have. You live in the time after the Messiah has come. The scriptures are opened to you. You're seeing the fulfillment of ages upon ages of prophetic words that the Messiah would come. Do you live out of that? Do you ignore it? Without the work of God in Christ, without the work of the Holy Spirit, we would have nothing. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 32 to 45. The disciples were on the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Why is Jesus going ahead of the majority of people? Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death. But after 3 days, he will rise. That's what the people of God heard for thousands of years as they waited for the Messiah. He has come, brothers and sisters. Do we draw near to him? Do we live with him? Do we seek his wisdom at every moment? Do we follow him? Do we receive all the graces that he wants to give us? Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, now, look at what Jesus has been saying. He's talking about his impending death. We are so dull sometimes. Don't just blame James and John. It's all of us. They just represent us. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask for you. How many times do you go to prayer and the first thing you do is me, me, me? Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he replied, what do you wish me to do for you? They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." They're thinking of self. Me, me, me. Give me a place of honor. And Jesus is talking about dying an agonizing death on our behalf. And they say, well, make sure that I get this position. Make sure I get this title. Make sure I have this honor. And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said, "Oh, well, we can." They have no idea what he's talking about, but Lord, whatever you're saying, of course we'll do. And they genuinely do want to follow him. They're just clueless on what it really means to have the Messiah in their midst, even though they had prophecies for thousands of years, even though the prophecies foretold that he would suffer. Right now, they're just focused on themselves. And it's true for all of us. Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The chalice that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized." It's the baptism of suffering. "But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the other ten, heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Now, honestly, they probably were thinking that the same thing, and they were indignant that James and John got there first. But of course, they're being indignant. "How dare you ask for that? I mean, my goodness, you're not thinking of the Christ. You're just thinking of yourself." They might even have gone that far, but they don't see that these two just spoke it outright. The other two harbor it in their hearts. All the others harbor it in their hearts. And Jesus, "The baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt, but it shall not be so among you." So he takes this opportunity to speak of how you live a role of authority, how you exercise authority. "Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be the first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." All of us, brothers and sisters, who serve in the church in any capacity in the church, need to pay heed to this. We are called to be servants. We're called to serve others and to forget about ourselves. That's the call upon us. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.